So, how are your wedding plans going?
You know, you are invited at a wedding. We all are.
Amen.
How do we prepare ourselves for that wedding? As you know, last Sunday I was at this wedding in Minnesota, and God used this time to speak to me. And I was reminded when Paul says that I promised you, that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in the beginning, he says, I promised you to a husband, to a man, and I'm jealous for you. I want to present you pure to him. And in Romanian, it says, I engaged you. Like, you know, it's like an engagement. I promised you for this man. And whether we know or not, that day is coming. And the Bible uses different examples and terms to describe the last days and the reunion between Christ and the church. And one of them is that the church is the bride and Christ is the groom, and we'll be with him. And this moment is so great. This anticipation is such a great moment for Christians. I mean, I was not even the groom. I was just helping with the reception. But for the last 2 or 3 months, I was living at this wedding. I was in wedding mode. I would talk to my daughter, and then just an idea comes to my mind. I say, excuse me, I have to go write it down. I can't even imagine. Like, I know how it was, and when I was the groom and Lori was the bride, and we would count the days and everything, and all the details were planned. And same thing with these guys. Like, they have planned everything, and they. But for this wedding, Christ's wedding, it can happen tonight. It can happen tomorrow. We don't know when it's going to be. But the Bible tells us to be ready for that. We have to be ready for that moment every time. These people, when I was at the wedding, they were not like, whoops, today's the wedding day. Well, I gotta, you know, hurry up and just be ready. No, they were like waiting for that. They knew, okay, this is the day. Everybody was excited and everybody was ready for that. So I want to share, when Christ was speaking about the last days, he talked to his disciples. In Matthew chapter 25, he uses one of these examples at the wedding, and he wants to teach the disciples and all of us to be careful. And especially like in these last chapters of Matthew, he speaks about the signs that will happen before his second coming. And a lot of these are happening today. Like, we look around and we see the war and, you know, like the famine and a lot of trouble in the world, and like, everything is just crazy, and it's just everything is screaming something is supposed to happen. Like, even like last night, we see like all this attack that happened on Iran, and like, we, and there's so much tension, we don't know what's going to happen. And one thing that I noticed was that people get used to like different things. I was at this wedding in Minnesota last week, and I noticed that the difference between the family, I'm not talking about the bride and groom, but like the family, close friends, everybody was so excited. But also there were people who were just casual. This is just another wedding. We just came to see each other. And I get it. I understand. This is the hardest thing when you go at the wedding. I haven't seen some of my friends for like 27 years or something like that. And it's very hard. Like, man, this is about them. But also I see this guy and I want to talk to him. And I noticed, well, some important things were happening, like the bride was paying tribute to her mom or dad and singing something, and somebody just wants to talk to me, and I felt so disrespectful doing that. It's an important moment right here. But I guess we as people, or maybe my culture, or I don't know, people get used to that. They say, oh, so what? It's a wedding, you know, I'm gonna do my thing, I'm gonna use this time for my benefit. And I think as Christians, we might be tempted like that, because Jesus repeated many times, be careful, watch out, be careful. This is going to happen. This, a lot of people are going to be fooled. They're going to be deceived. Be careful. So I'm going to read this from Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to share a few thoughts today. Starting verse 1. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." This is the idea. We don't want to fall into that extreme where people explain every detail about some things, the parable Jesus said, or situations. He wanted to see this example or this situation about how important it is for us to be ready for that day. We're not going to fall into like describing all the details. I don't want to do that. Some people say, well, who are the 10 virgins? Who are the 5 wise? Who are the 5 unwise? And there's a lot of support. We can use that as an example. But the main idea Jesus used this story is to warn us to be careful, because for that day, we don't know when it's going to be, and we have to be ready for that. And it's an embarrassment when the wedding starts and you're not ready for what's going on. So I would like to share 3 warnings that God spoke to me from this. And I hope this will help us to prepare ourselves and be ready for that day. The first one is hanging around the right people, the right company is not enough. It's not good enough. It's good when we all are together, like these 10 virgins, they were all together. This was the bridal party. They were together there. And this was the nice group. You would look at them and you just say, man, this is a nice group right here. However, it was not enough for those 5 unwise bridesmaids. Those young ladies who were there, they did not realize this is not enough that we are together. They were part of this celebration. They were so honored to be there. And this was not enough. And what God spoke to me was, this is not enough just to be part of a godly group or a group of people that are expecting the Lord's coming and just be with them and just kind of mix between them and hoping everything will be perfect. This is a warning. This is a danger. I mean, you could not ask for a better pastor, better teacher than Jesus. And yet one of them, the disciples, Judah, he just destroyed his life. Even though he had Jesus there, it was not enough. And we look at this story and we see that the Bible talks about these girls who had these lamps, but it's more like torches they had. They would have like a piece of wood or something, put some rugs on top, and they just would put that in oil, and that would burn for a couple minutes. And then they have to trim it and put it back, and that's how it was burning and lighting. Because sometimes, I mean, what I read is the wedding started in the evening, and the groom would come and just have these girls joining and just go and have this celebration. So these were in the right company. They all were virgins. They all had lamps. But what was important was not that what you could see on outside, the torches or the lamps, whatever they had. It was the inside that was not seen, the oil. And 5 of them had enough, but 5 of them did not think about that. I think this is very dangerous, especially today, because we just look around and we think, man, I don't think we're doing too bad as a church. Where I don't think I'm the worst in the church. I don't cause trouble. And we tend to look in the crowd and we just think, okay, I'm not too bad. I think I'm all right. And this can be a false signal, a false assurance for us, because we are not looking inside and see, Can I make it through? Do I have enough? When I look at the bridegroom, when he's gonna come, do I honor this man, or I'm gonna embarrass him at his wedding? How do I look at myself? It's very hard to look around and see people cheating left and right, and you wanna be faithful. It's very hard when you look that people lie around, and you might be the only one who's not cheating on our exam, or on your taxes, or other things. Some people just look and, you know, they find comfort in that because everybody around does that. And you just feel like, okay, I'm not the worst. And this can be a false assurance for us as Christians, because we look around and we say, okay, we're not doing like this or like that. We try to be better or different than other people. And we don't realize that this can be a trap. And we don't look and say, Lord, everybody can see the exterior, the lamb. Everybody knew these are virgins, these are good girls, and everybody see that. But inside the heart, it's only the Lord who sees that. And I think the worst, the Bible says, like, the worst that we can do is trying to get the best out of both worlds. Like, we are with God, and also trying to have the best life on this earth. Like, enjoying the world. Let's say, how much can I get of this world and still be with the Lord? And we are out of the most people, Paul says. We are the most to be pitied. Like, it's very sad when this happens. Just a few words back in chapter 24, Matthew, Jesus said, again, speaking about the last times, he says, at that time, and can you just count how many times he uses this word many? Not few. And he says, I'm reading Matthew chapter 24, starting verse 10. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Jesus talks of three times, he says, about many, many, many. And then he says, most people, the love of most people grow cold because of sin in their lives. So, in a way, it's like a paradox. We look around and we see churches left and right everywhere. And everybody speaks about God and Jesus. And Jesus is looking, he says, be careful, because many people will be deceived. Many people will be deceived, and many will turn away from faith. This is a warning for me, and this is a warning for us as a church. Just hanging around godly people, just going to church, it's not enough. It's good, it's great, but this is not enough. This is personal. This oil, when these five unwise girls, and when they realized that the lamp is running out, they told to the five wise girls, and they said, give us some of the oil. They say, no, we cannot do that. This is personal. I cannot transfer my power that God gives me, the grace that God gives me. I cannot transfer even to my wife or my kids. This is personal. They told them, go and buy. Go. This is what you have to do personal. So being in a big crowd is good if these are godly people. But there are some things we have to do on our own personally. When Paul was writing to Timothy, he says, Timothy, he's not saying just hang around good people and it'll be all right. Like, he told him, actually, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. He says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Pursue these things, Timothy, with other people. But remember, you have to run away from this youthful lust. And you have to pursue these things. You have to decide that for yourself. I can be surrounded by godly people, and this is very encouraging. To see people that are full of passion for Christ. People who love the Lord. And this is contagious. You can see that it encourages you. It's very good to have such people around you. But if we do not open that door, if we do not make that personal decision, you can take me to the best restaurant in town. If I don't open my mouth and don't take that food and try it and eat it, it's useless. Same thing like with following the Lord. We have to do that person. This is one of the greatest burden I currently have in my life. I want my kids to realize that. I want my daughters to realize that. That following the Lord, and not just them, but everybody, especially young people who grew up surrounded by a good, I hope, godly people, at least in the family, somebody who influenced them, but they have to decide personally, says, Lord, I want to do this. I realize I have to prepare myself. Lord, I want to prepare myself. I don't want to be deceived. So this is the first warning that God spoke to me. I want to share with you just to be careful that while we are just surrounded by godly people, somebody can help us, but we have to be on our own. We have to realize on our own if we are prepared enough for the Lord's coming. The second warning that I see here is having a minimal mindset. Like, I'm not sure if I said right. Like, five of these ladies, they were having enough fire. And they were thinking everything will be perfect. Best case scenario, the groom comes. We all have enough oil. And we just go through. The other five, they wanted to have plenty. They want to have extra. They got those jars and they put the extra oil. So this warning of just having the minimal, you know, to get to heaven. I heard people who says, I just want to make to heaven. If I just cross that doorstep and I just, you know, the door shuts behind me in heaven, I'm happy. Have you heard about that? A lot of people who just have this mentality, and this is okay, it's good to get to heaven. But sometimes I'm thinking like, man, when God offered so much to us, like when I know the sacrifice my wife does for me or for us as a family, do I just go and say, what's the minimum I can do for you so we can stay married? We don't think that way. We sometimes argue because, I want to share my love for her. No, she wants to, you go first. No, you go first. You know, things like that. It's very hard if we just go eat some time out. Usually we don't pick up where we go to see the girls. Because, I want her to feel good. No, you choose. What do you want? This is what God offered us. These girls, the fire was burning. They all 10 had the torch or the lamp was burning, because when the Bible says when they woke up, they said, well, our lamps are flaming out. They're going out. So it was burning. They all had, but some of them just had the minimum to go through. And this is dangerous. When we want to use the Bible in such a way that it fits both our lifestyle and gets us to heaven. I don't think there is, in English, there's this term, but in Russian they have like this term for vor v zakone. If anybody will hear this, it's a thief, but within the law. These are people, very rich people. Usually they have connection to the government and stuff, so they know how to trick the system. They do things that are not legal, but nobody can catch them. So it's like a war within the system. You cannot catch them. And I think sometimes as Christians, we might think like that. How can I do in such a way, live the life in such a way that the Bible would just still, God will still bless me, but I still get what I want from this life? It's a mindset. It's a dangerous mindset. I don't want to do that. I owe to God so much. I don't think I'll have enough time to show my gratitude for Him, for what He did for me. And I don't want to just come before the Lord and say, Lord, see, my lamp is still burning. It's about to die. But Lord, here I made it, Lord. Basically, it's burning. It is burning. It's. But that flame, that desire, that passion for Christ is not there. I just want to share with you what God did for us. Ephesians chapter 2, starting verse 4. The Bible tells, this is one of the places where we can see how much did God do for us. Was it minimum or was it more than that? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, but God, being minimum in mercy, just enough mercy for us, but God being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the boundless riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. God is rich in mercy and kindness. Boundless riches of his grace. There's no limit for his kindness, his grace for us. And God is offering me like all this, like he told me, everything I have, I give you. He gave us his son. He gave us the most expensive he had, the most dear he had, his son, for us. And in return, we say, Lord, after the billions and trillions of dollars you held me, here are my 5 cents for you, Lord. I don't want to be that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to have this minimal mindset. I want to give God the best I have. I want to serve him. I want to be full of thankfulness for what he did for me. Who was forgiven much, loves much, Jesus said. I always carry in my truck, I'm a truck driver, and I always have in my truck extra gallons of fuel, just in case there's some bad weather, there's something happens. I never run too low on my fuel. It's risky. But even, you know, if something happens, I still have in my truck some extra fuel, just in case. I think this is wise. This is good for us as Christians to have plenty of God's word in our heart, plenty of grace in our heart, and just to be so rich in power from God that we cannot be scared of tomorrow. We're not going to go, what if this happens? What if that happens? We have to trust God so much. And Lord, you are there already. I'm not going to run out of this. Lord, I'm needy. We need that. We need his grace. We need his power. We need that. But we are trusting him because he knows what he's doing. We're not just going to go like, oh, on that line, If every day I would just think, should I divorce my wife or should I live with her? What kind of marriage would that be? Should I serve the Lord or should I just look for my life? Should I do this or should I just give up? It's very, very hard and it's not healthy. I think when we have a proper mindset and we see how much God gave us, not even death can separate us from his. I just shared a couple weeks ago from Romans 8. Paul said, I am convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. And he said, nor death, nor life. Amen. Not just the bad things, the good things also. And this is a right mindset. When we are just looking, say, Lord, when you come, I want to be ready for you. I remember when I just came on our wedding day. And I heard so much like noise. And the girls in the room where Lori was preparing. And everybody was like, and until the last second when she comes out the room and for both of us to meet, somebody would just adjust something, a piece of hair, something, you know, like she wanted to be perfect, everything perfect. Do you know the mindset of Christian is like that? We read about that in John, 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. John talks about it and he says, we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then he says, all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. All people who have this hope to be with Christ, they are busy cleaning up themselves, purifying themselves. And they say, Lord, is there something else in my life that needs to be corrected? These five girls, they realized the right thing. They said the right thing, but it was too late. They just realized they out of oil. If today we realize that, Lord, I don't like the passion I have for you. I look at my life and this is not the best time in my life where I say, Lord, I love you the most, like never before I loved you the most. I understand things like I never understood before, some of them, and I think God expects more from me. That's what I mean by that. I love the Lord as a child a lot spiritually, but today when I realize how much more God did for me, I think I can do better to show my love for Him. And today, if you see a thing that God exposes in your life, maybe it's a temptation, maybe you're too weak in some area, thank God for that. And say, Lord, thank you for exposing me, because today I can run out and still buy oil and still be full of passion for you. Last Saturday night was the rehearsal dinner. Everybody was there repeating how they're going to enter, how things are going to happen at the ceremony, at the wedding. And, you know, they had to do a couple times because somebody, you know, just walked too fast, somebody walked too slow, the music was not right. And they said, okay, let's repeat that. When the wedding day was on Sunday, there was no repeat. If you stumble and you fall down, that's it. If you're not prepared, that's it. Nobody's gonna wait for you to go and, you know, get your hair right or something like that. That's it. So I think today we live in that period where we're just doing the rehearsal. We just look at our lives and we just realize, Lord, when I look in the mirror, your word, I'm not prepared yet. Lord, help me run and fix this thing. Lord, help me straight things right and just do the things right before you. Let's not do this when it's too late. Let's not just cover things. Oh, okay, you know, nobody will notice. It will be noticeable. So the right mindset is not just minimal, but to have this whole dedication for Christ and say, I want to be the best that I can be. I want to have the best speech I can have in this life. Lord, I want to preserve myself for you the best that I can. Just because you did so much for me, I want to show my love for you. And today is the right time to repent, to correct things, because God gave us this grace, this time, so we can use it wisely. The third warning I want to share with you today is the danger of falling asleep. Jesus talked about all of them fall asleep. Not just the five unwise or the five wise. All of them fall asleep. And the groom came late. When I was a kid, I was wondering, many times I heard, even from the Bible, we hear a lot of times like the thief coming at night or Jesus coming at night. And I said, how is this going to happen? Because the earth is a sphere and somewhere is always night and somewhere is always day. How this is going to happen? You know, I was thinking just physics and this. But Jesus was trying to say, like, falling asleep, in this case at least, I think, it's the meaning that when you least expect, when you're not thinking about that, this is when it happens. When somebody's asleep, he's not aware, and next thing you know that somebody knocking a door or something happens, and the point is to be ready. Be ready. I remember as a kid, it was a big deal. I grew up in a very small town, a village. Very, very, just probably, I don't know, about 150 homes, 200 homes or something like that. And when we had to go out somewhere, my dad was one of the few that had a car. And he worked in construction, he had to travel different places. And if one day he would say, like, tomorrow I pick you up, we are 11 siblings. So he told me, like, tomorrow I'll pick you up and we go to the marketplace or somewhere. My goodness. That night, I just couldn't sleep. Sometimes I just go to bed, dressed, ready. So in the morning, when dad is just about, I don't miss him, because if you're too late, he's got a few to choose from, 11. So if you're not ready, you know, you probably missed the trip. It was such a great, I still remember the trip to Ukraine and other places he took us. And I was prepared for that.
Amen.
The point I want to say is this: if you fall asleep prepared, you'll wake up prepared. These brides, the five brides that were wise, they had plenty of oil. I'm sure they did not want to fall asleep, but life sometimes is just so hard, and we just go with the flow. Like, but God sees that, and the grace that's within you, and those days and nights when we spend before the Lord and just getting of His grace in us, that will keep us afloat. That will keep us, and whenever we'll hear the Lord coming, we'll be prepared for that. Falling asleep is not just like that, like we switch the light off. Sometimes I see the baby just, you know, like fall asleep like immediately. But normally, we don't fall asleep like that. And Bible talks about, like, verse 5, they all became drowsy, and then they fall asleep. It's a process. It's not something that happens immediately. You feel like, you know, you're tired, you want to sleep, but you're not sleeping yet. You're aware, you're conscious. So this is a process that happens, and we have to be careful, because Satan will never put us to sleep like immediately. He'll offer some comfort, something that is going to take us away from being aware of Jesus coming, of the important things. I remember when I was in the Bible college, we had to do once a month, or it depended, like through rotation. All the students had to do like a security service. Like, we had to watch at the front of the building. We had to be awake for 24 hours, or it was different times. But it was the main entrance into the building. The building was a three-story building, and they had church, they had the school there, they had many activities there, including the Bible college. So we just had to be there and keep an eye and watch what's going on. This was in the capital of Moldova. So we had to be careful. So I remember I came from holidays. It was the winter holidays. And I was tired. So I came and I had to jump from the bus right into the duty I had as a security guy there. So it was okay. Afternoon, all nice. Until the evening came. Winters, you know, nights are long, and I felt drowsy. I felt tired. And the thing was, like, we had about like a wall about this wide, and it was like windows. I could see the traffic, activities, and it was okay. But right here next to me, it was a recliner. Brown, I still remember that. So comfortable, so big, one of these extra large, you know, like a sofa. And I was just watching that, and I said, nope, if I just take a seat, I'm done. I know that. So I was just, you know, walking and just spinning and going and memorizing and doing whatever I could do just to not sit there. So it was late, probably, I don't know, 10, 11 p.m. And I said, well, I'm just going to sit for a little bit just to relax. I'm not gonna fall asleep. I'll not do that. I'll just sit. You know, all that, you know, like inward. So I just take a sit there. The next thing I remember, opening my eyes, and the CEO of the Bible school teacher, like the director, was sitting like 4 feet in front of me across the glass window, just staring at me. I wish that was a vision, but it was reality. I got in trouble for that. But I think Satan is so clever to offer us the best comfortable recliners. Just have fun, man. Just enjoy life. Just enjoy life. And I think the worst is when we try, like these virgins, they were not just like, you know, bad behaving girls, some prostitutes or somewhere. They were pure. And what a tragedy it was for them not to be somewhere in a bar having fun and also missing the wedding party. I think this is a warning for us that we have to be careful. We have to be careful. If life gets easy, we all want to have the best in life, like to have the comfort of life. But that sometimes is the worst enemy for us spiritually. We gossip more easy. We are complaining more easy. I know this because I grew up in the poorest country in Europe. And I know how thankful people are when they have something like very little, something's like very hardworking people. But many of us, when we came to US and we have encountered this plentiness of, you know, like everything, I heard people complaining about this food or that food, or this wedding was not right, or this could be better and that could be better. That's the reality. That's the human flesh. That's how we are. That's why we have to be careful and just control our bodies and just be careful before the Lord, because this is a warning for us, brothers and sisters. It's a warning because we can fall asleep. And Jesus says, watch out, watch out. These five virgins, when they realized they have no oil, they said, well, we got a quick fix. How about you guys share with us? And we all have, like, you know, it's not working that way. There's no quick fixes. When the Lord comes, it's gonna be like a picture. If you close your eyes, that's it. I grew up with the, you know, the film pictures. When you take a picture, you had to wait a couple of days until that film was developed. You had like about 36 shots like on each film. And you just take those pictures, you bring that film, it's developed, and then you see it, and you just look. If you close your eyes or not, that's why people just like looked and they tried to like be still and have nice pictures. Today, I mean, we're just four in the family. Sometimes we have to take like maybe 10, 15 pictures until we get one right. Because somebody's just not, you know. I think it's very dangerous. We have to be careful. We have to be careful. There's no quick solutions for that. We have to be careful before the Lord. Forgiveness is free. We don't have to buy it. It says here that they told, go and buy oil. It's not that we can buy God's blessings, the grace of God. It's free. I just read that from Ephesians. It's free. God gives us free. But there's a price to pay if you really want that. It's going to cost you that. Paul told Timothy, run away from these things and run away towards those things, the good things. There's a choice we have to make. There's a decision we have to make. There's a price to be paid, and we have to do that. I would like to close at this wedding that I just attended. I know two brothers, childhood friends, and one of them is like a German, you know, very precise, like on time every time, and he's like, he was there, and we just talked about this, like, and he said, man, my brother, his brother, he's always late. He's always late. So here we are, and not just this wedding, every time, it's like, you know, like a behavior. So we're just sitting there in the last row. And to be honest, I was a little bit late, but I knew I had this grace period. I had to go and buy some stuff. I preparing for the wedding. I had to be at the reception, but I wanted to attend also like the whole wedding. So when I came there, and I know that they put the time for 3 p.m. on the invitation, hoping that everybody will show up at 3:30. So again, start 3:30. So I was before 3:30. But anyway, so we hear sometime during the wedding reception, I even forgot what this brother told me, and I just happened to look back, and this is when I see his brother walk in, just like casual, nothing happened, you know, just, you know, greeting everybody, and I was reminded of this. What if somebody would tell him, I'm sorry, you cannot attend the wedding, you're not allowed in, you're too late? I think he'll be shocked. But because he got away with that every single time, it felt normal. I still feel bad when we come to church and I'm a couple minutes late. I don't care if it's traffic on I-44 or something else, or it's too far for us to drive, we can do better in that area. And I was looking at this man, and if somebody told this guy, hey, you're too late, how would that be for him? He got ready for the wedding, he came there, he probably had a gift, and just because he was late, nobody allowed him. I think this is a danger for us, a warning for us, to be reminded that just because we might get away with some things, it doesn't mean it's going to work like that all the time. Some people tried to get away with the lie in the first church, and they were dead in a couple of minutes. You know about the couple I'm talking about. They tried to lie, and God just punished that right there, and they died. What if God will be so strict with us today? And we just be like we just vividly see how God is punishing sin, I think we'll be more careful. We'll prepare ourselves better. I look at my life and I'm reminded that in Revelation 21:27, the Bible says nothing impure will ever enter into that city, into the kingdom of God. Nothing impure. Only God's people who prepared, not perfect people, but people who look at their lives and they were not happy just because they had been surrounded by godly people, godly friends. They were just looking person and said, Lord, I need more of you in my life. Remember, like Peter, he did not look around and say, well, Lord, I'm better than, he actually said, I'm better than, Lord, if they are gonna run away, you can count on me. No, one time he said, Lord, please leave me alone. I'm too sinful. I'm just too bad for you, Lord. He looked personally to his life. Let's just look like that and analyze ourselves. Also, I want to have my maximum I can give the Lord, not the minimum, just to make it to heaven. You know, like somebody, I saw a meme, I'm a truck driver, and I saw somebody, like a cop pulled over a driver and pointed at the truck, at the parking sign. He says, fine for parking. So the cop says, okay, you're not allowed to park. And the guy who's like me, he doesn't speak English, says, no, he says, it's fine for parking. Like, it's okay to park. So I heard people, like, you know, twisting the Bible and saying, like, oh, this is fine, that's not fine. Where does the Bible say about this or about that? There are a lot of things that are in my life that are not written in the Bible that I have to be careful about, including the phone, including other things that I do. I want to serve the Lord with my whole life. I want to serve Him with the best that I can have. So I don't want to have this minimum mindset. I want to have the maximum for the Lord. And also, it's good to be surrounded by people, because if you fall asleep, somebody might just, you know, pinch you and say, hey, wake up. I grew up in a village, I said, like, we had the church at home. And one older person, a lot of people work hard, like we all work, like garden and, you know, like farmers and stuff like that. People come tired of church many times. So we had not chairs like this with the back seat, just like, just a, you know, just a 2x8, that's it, just people sitting there. And this is a true story. I was at this evening when one of the older people, he just fell asleep. And when he was about to go like this on his back, he got scared. And the instinct was just to, like, you know, grab something. And he smashed two brothers on the left and right. And the guy behind him also was falling asleep. And he just landed him and he just pushed him back. It was a funny situation. But it was good because there was people around. And somebody would see you and tell brother, I think you can do better for the Lord. Brother, wake up. Sister, wake up. I hope we are people like that. Mm-hmm. When we are together, we help each other in love. And hopefully when that day comes, it can be tomorrow, we're all invited for that wedding. I hope we're preparing ourselves. And our lamps, our torches, will burn. The Bible says, the Spirit says, and the bride says, come, Lord Jesus, come. I can't remember when's the last time I actually cried or prayed and said, Lord, I want you to come sooner, Lord. I counted the days for my wedding. Do I count the days? I don't know when it can be. It can be today or tomorrow. But He'll surely come, and I hope we'll all make it there. May God help us.
Amen. Amen.